Love you, man. Okay. God bless. What a thrill to be here today and to be able to share God's word with you. Today I'd like to share a little bit about kindness. I thought God worked that out pretty cool. I had forgotten all about them saying something about the kindness, about sharing with the homeless people and that. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that, you know, maybe you ought to see if God's putting it on your heart to do something around here. You know? You don't have to just go down there because they already have it established. It's an easier thing to do. I'm not complaining or getting in your business or anything. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, maybe God is opening your heart and maybe it's something you would want to do around here. You know, and the reason I asked about where it's at in the parking is because I would never come all the way up here to go all the way back down there. But I would be interested in showing up at some point. So there you go. So anyway, think about that. That may be something that you really want to work out. Do I have to turn this on, Nick? Where did Nick go? Okay, thanks. So anyway, I wanted to share a little bit about kindness today. And that is an act of kindness, what they're doing down there. And it's important. It's important to do that. Yesterday, I went over to the Home Depot. And this has to do with kindness. So I go over to the Home Depot. And because my Christmas lights aren't working. You know, it's amazing. I told my next door neighbor, I said, dude, I'm like mortified when something I own doesn't work. I don't know how that works out. I'm like on the Egyptian tip, like when the Israelites left Egypt. I think nothing I have ever wears out. I had my lawnmower for like 30 years or 20 years, I think. I never even changed the oil or the spark plug. And when it died, I called Nick. I said, I think I lost my Children of Israel status. So my lawnmower died. I can't believe it, dude. But it's like, you know, anyway. So I go over to Home Depot. I'm checking out the Christmas lights. And it's like a bank wall. And they have all the Christmas lights on the wall. And everything today is LED. And I said to the guy, dude, I just want regular old Christmas lights. Like if one bulb burns out, I want to be able to change it without all the searching. Well, it doesn't always work out like that. So, okay, fine. So I'm standing there. And as I'm standing there, this crew of a family with like four kids, a wife and another girl, a friend and a guy, and a shopping cart, actually two shopping carts, like motor, like right in front of me. And now I can't see anything. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a real slow shopper because I want everything totally cheap. I want like almost free. I want exactly what I want. So anyway, I stand back. I move back a little bit, and I'm like, okay, great. So I put my hands in my pockets. Well, unbeknown to me, I'm like speaking in tongues, saying, God, like, can you move this cattle along? And so I'm standing there, and I say, God, okay, this is great. This is awesome. And I'm speaking in tongues. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And they're not moving. So after, I'd say, about 5 minutes, you know, of them searching and going through the whole lights, they still hadn't moved on. So I kind of leaned forward and I went, dude, I think it's great that you and your family like got here and you're shopping for Christmas lights and all that. But if you could like get half the crew to like step to the side a little bit, I was actually standing here looking at lights and trying to buy them when you guys like literally bum rushed me out of the way. So, now, and I don't have a problem with that. I said, I want to be kind and I want you to find what you want, but I also have a life and want to be able to move on with it because it's not getting any lighter today. So the guy looks at me and he goes, oh, wow, I didn't even realize that. And the guy behind me goes, dude, that was awesome. I was praying these guys were like, get the hell out of the way. I said, yeah, well, okay. Yeah, so being kind, the point is being kind is not necessarily being a dish rag for Jesus or a wet sock or a wet noodle or whatever you call it. Sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. But you can be kind. And it's important to be kind. when I was, I got the lights, and so I'm big on preparation, not all the time, but most of the time. So a friend of mine that works for me, he said when he bought his lights, he got them home, he put them up, and they burned out. And I was like, ah, dude. So I thought, you know what? I'm checking these lights before I even leave the store. So I got three little packs, and they have trees there all lit up with, like, wreaths and stuff. If you ever want to go to Home Depot and look, just look. You'll see what I'm talking about. So anyway, they got plugs there. Well, I unplug a tree and start plugging my lights in. So the Home Depot dude walks up, and he goes, yeah, what are you doing? I said, I'm checking the lights. He goes, you do that when you go home. I said, you do that when you go home. I said, because I'm not putting up with going home, burned out lights, and bringing them back. I already had a guy go through that. So he started laughing, and the same guy that said that was awesome about the thing goes, dude, that's an awesome idea. And now he's standing there with an arm full of lights, and he goes, I'm testing mine, too. The Home Depot guy walked away. It was great. So praise God. Praise God. But, you know, it was the kindness of letting those people get involved and stepping back a little bit that I really wanted to bring to your mind. That kindness is very, very important. And how important is kindness? In 2003, a study of 37 cultures around the world, 16,000 subjects were asked about their most desired traits in a mate. So that's husband and people that were going to be husband and wives, and what they think is one of the most desirable traits. For both sexes, the first preference was kindness. And I wrote, everybody wants it. How many are ready to give it? And that's what's really important. Everybody wants it, but not everybody is willing to give it. So what is kindness? Kindness is a state or quality of being kind, of a good or benevolent nature or disposition as a person, to desire to do good to others, goodwill, charitableness, indulgent, considerate, helpful, mild, gentle, sympathetic, helpful, friendly, and thoughtful. That's what it is. And we can do that. And it was amazing when I started working this, the first person I thought of was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was all that in a bag of chips when it came to being kind. I don't know if I shared this before. If not, Dolores and I went to see Ben-Hur one night a while ago in the movie theater. And the movie theater was totally empty. Her and I were the only two people sitting in the movie. So I was like, woohoo, here we are, 100 seats, nobody's in there. And we saw Ben-Hur, and if you didn't see that movie, it got bad reviews, I think, but it was a good movie. And I think the reason it got bad reviews is because it was pretty much a Christian-based movie. The thing I wanted to bring up to that was when Ben-Hur, he was like this great guy, and he got booted out, and because he took in these rabbi and... It's a long story, but basically he got the boot out of town. And he was a great man before that. And when he came back into the town, people like were booing him and knocked him down and all this stuff because he went in for a chariot race to race his brother. And they knocked him to the ground. And it was pretty cool. Jesus Christ was standing there. And when he got up to, like, start giving him the what for and everything, Jesus Christ put his hand on the guy and said, stop, just stop. This guy's all right. Yeah, get up. And then he went on about his way. And in the end, when Jesus Christ was being crucified, he was there. And he extended the same kindness to Jesus Christ by giving him a cup of water. I don't know if that's really a true story or not. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty cool, the example of it. It's very important, kindness. And kindness is an attribute of God and a quality desirable but not consistently found in humans. And the reason I wrote that is because kindness is not inherent. It is not inherent in human nature. Inherent means belonging to the basic nature of someone. You're not naturally a kind person. Why is that? Dude, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if I didn't tell you that already. I'm sorry. I always like to open up by saying, take your Bibles and turn somewhere, because that gets your head right into the Word. And this is the reason that kindness is not part of your human nature. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein," verse 2, "in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of" what? "Wrath, even as others." That was us. That was me. I'll speak for my own self. That was me. I was a child of wrath. I wasn't born with Holy Spirit. I wasn't born operating, being able to operate manifestations of Holy Spirit. It takes work. It takes getting into it. So your natural instinct is not to be kind. Your natural instinct is kind of to be rude. And if you look around the world today, that's what the heck you got. You got a bunch of rude people. Rude people when you get up in the morning. They run you off the road. They knock you down at the Wawa counter when you're getting your cup of coffee. You know, they back out. Their life is the most important thing in the world, and your life means absolutely nothing. Well, clues are being handed out. That's not true. Whether they like it or not, it's just not true. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he" what? "Loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved." And that's the most important thing. God extended great kindness to us, even when we were stupid and not able to do the word. But in order to put on kindness, you need to put some things off. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see some things you want to put off if you want to put on kindness. You know, the word says you can't serve God and what? Mammon. That's right, and you can't. So we want to serve God. When you got born again, that made loving God and doing God's word an inherent part of you. You just have to renew your mind, or I'll say I have to renew my mind, in order to do God's word every single day, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back someday, and all of the natural and material things that we've acquired in our whole entire lives will be zip. It'll be dust. So we need to move out with the greatness of God's word and begin to procure or require things that are going to last for all eternity. And the kinder you are, the more rewards you're going to be able to rack up, trust me. You check that out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. This is it. "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Excuse me. If you want to be kind, you can't have all that stuff in your life. You know? You get onto the road and the guy gives you the half a peace sign. What was up with that? You know? I did nothing. All I did was pull out onto the road. He's bitter. He's got malice. He's got anger. Bitterness is a bad, bad thing. I was going to cut up a bunch of lemons today and have everybody bite one, but I thought it might not be a real blessing. But if you go somewhere and you get a little lemon, maybe when you're home or something, bite it and see what happens to your face. Because like, that's bitterness, man. That bitterness gets into your soul. And that's what these people, the children of wrath, are projecting. They're projecting that bitterness in their lives. Now, I don't know how they got that way. Maybe they were abused as a kid. Maybe they saw people abused. There's another article I read about bullies. You know why? They did a study on bullies. And the reason people bully other kids, is because they like it. How did they get that way? Now, I'm not going down the spiritual path, saying they're demonized and all. I'm not going there. I'm just saying, at this minute, for this sharing, because that is a possibility. Kids can get demons. Believe it. That's when, I don't want to go down that street, but that's when the door normally gets opened as a kid. You're subject to something. You may not get that when you're a child, but you know what? Doggone devil just jumps in later on in life, brings you to something, brings you to a place, and you're nobody wants to be a miserable old fart or a miserable young one either, for that matter. Nobody. So why are so many people so miserable? Because they don't have the word. They don't have the love of God. And kindness is one way you can get that to them. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind and tenderhearted. Be loving. It didn't take much for me to step back and have that 20 Mule Team Borax caravan pile in front of me. You know, it didn't take but a minute. And if they hadn't stayed there all day, I'd have never said nothing. Well, they didn't stay there all day, but after like about 5 minutes, I don't know. The kind part was for me. Get the heck out of the way. Anyway, the Greek word for kind is Christos. And part of its meaning is, and that's C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And part of its meaning is useful, which makes it clear that biblical kindness takes action. Be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. Kindness takes action. It takes thinking. It takes changing your mind in every situation. I saw on the TV the other day, Dolores is on to the Fox News, I think. Anyway, she turns that on sometimes and she watches it. Basically started because of the election. And these kids are rioting, and they're not going to school. And they're, you know, they have these hug rooms and, give you a cup of tea and some hot chocolate and a teddy bear. And, you know what? That's just the devil, man. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. That's just the way it is. That's why they feel they need this nonsense. Because they've never been taught the truth that somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. How many times I've said, do you know when Noah got on that boat, man, on that ark, everybody was dead that wasn't on that boat, that wasn't on that ark. Everybody. Man, woman, children, and beast. Every single one of them was wiped out. This is BS. Why it's got to be that way. You're not helping anyone by giving them a teddy bear. Everybody's got to get a trophy. No, they don't. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. I watched my kids lose when they played sports. You know what? Suck it up. Get a life. Tomorrow's another day. You get a chance to start all over again. You get a chance to play another game. I watched my grandson play for the Highland High School. Dude, they didn't win a game in 4 years. 4 years. Man, I'm talking like every Friday night I sat in those stands. Every Friday night. And there was nights I was like napping through snow, through rain. Yo, Pops, you see me run that kickoff back? Oh, yeah, that was great. Awesome, dude. Bless you. I don't know how I saw it out of closed eyes, but man, hand warmers, foot warmers. and everything. Anyway, I don't know what else to do with kindness, but you know, somebody's got to lose, man. People need to learn that somebody's got to lose. And these kids are rioting and uprioting, and then I find out that, you know what? Is it really them, or is it the people that are being paid to start the nonsense? Because, you know, you can go on Craigslist and sign up and get paid to go and protest. What's wrong with that picture? So who's doing that? Reminded me of the advanced class. When you see this guy, what was that? You see a Kiss came out on stage, and the guys with the long hair, and one guy has a really long tongue and all that, and they're playing, and there's a guy, he's got an earbud in, and there's a guy up in the sound booth telling him what to do. Stick your tongue out more, grab yourself, do this, do that. You know, it's not the people that are pulling the strings, it's the people behind the people. Man, there's a tangent for you. All right. Go to 1 John chapter 3, please, in 1 John. But somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. That's why everybody's so upset. There's nothing to be upset about. You lost. Big deal. If Trump would have lost, I wouldn't have. You know, and somebody said that to me the other day. Oh, yeah, by the way, dude, you're just happy because your guy won. I don't really give a darn. I didn't care who won the election. I mean, I wanted Trump to win. But I wanted him to win because I thought he was the best of the worst candidates. That's it. You know? You could say what you like. But you know what? I didn't sit on my rear end and not vote. These people don't even vote. Man. All right. I'll stop. 1 John 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. That's what we need to do. We need to act with kindness. We need to speak the truth. Action precedes results. Acts accompanied by words. Speaking kind words takes action also. Like speaking in tongues. You move your mouth, your lips, your throat, your tongue. That's action too. And sometimes speaking a kind word is what's needed. When's the last time you told somebody that you loved them, that you care? I'm going to get to that in the end, practical ways. Just telling somebody, God bless you. I work for a living as a plumber, and I actually don't do a whole lot of plumbing anymore because I do site visits and office work and billing and all that. And I come in contact with even more people every day, and I can tell you there's unequivocally, there's not one person that I've never left their house and didn't say, God bless you, have a great day. That's kindness. I don't care if they like it or they don't like it. I always say, God bless you, have a great day. I go to the Wawa, I get a cup of coffee, I tell the girl, God bless you, man, have a great day. It doesn't cost anything. You might save that person's life. Tell them their hair looks nice. I went in the other day, there was a guy standing. Some people have impeccable taste and their clothing. It's like unbelievable. I walked into the Wawa and there was a guy with a suit and I'm like, dude, that suit is smoking. What size are you? And he started laughing. He's like, you don't want it, do you? I said, well, if you meander out in the parking lot, I got a stick, I might have to take it. No, just kidding. But it was a really nice suit with a really nice tie and everything else. And I was thinking, like, man. And he started laughing. He goes, thank you very much. That really made my day. And off he went. I may never see that guy again, but it doesn't matter. It was a random act of kindness. Just showing people a little love. And that made his day. You know, when I come into this room or when I see you, and I all inclusive, I like hugging people. I like kissing people. And I don't mean like, you know what I mean. I like hugging and kissing people. I'm a huggy kind of guy. Man, I just like hugging people. You know, one of my goals in life is to hug someone and have them healed. I got goosebumps thinking about that. I would love to hug someone and have them healed. When I hug you, I give a little speaking in tongues for you. And I think, man, I hope that person gets healed of anything that's wrong with them today. Even if they're in a bad mood. It doesn't matter. Bad moods hurt too. I mean, phew. All right. Genesis chapter 37, please. So I wanted to read this whole record today, but when I read it, it takes like an hour for me to read, so we're not going to do that. But this is about Joseph. And the reason I chose this as one of the records to read today is because Joseph really got dumped on by the people that were closest to him, and that would be his brothers. They basically tore him up, and I'm sure you're familiar with the record. And the reason I'm reading so much of it in the beginning is because scripture buildup. I want you to see how much and how bad his brothers really taught him, or treated him. How bad they really treated him. And I wanted that fresh in your mind for when we read the end of how he treated them. So in chapter 37, verse 3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." And the coat of many colors, if you don't know, that was an emblem of distinction. That set him apart. He just didn't have a gray robe or a blue robe or a brown robe. It was a robe of distinction. Excuse me. Verse 4. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren," they what? Hated him. They sure as heck weren't kind, that's for sure. "And could not speak peaceably unto him." They didn't like him so much they couldn't even give him a kind stinking word. "Yo, brother, I like that coat. Yo, brother, I like your hairdo today." They couldn't say, they hated that guy. And you can work that down and see what's going on there too someday. "And Joseph dreamed a dream," verse 5, "and he told his brethren," and they hated him what? More. He has a dream. He tells the dream. He's trying to share. He's trying to show some love. They hate him even more. Gotta love it. Verse 7. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field." Notice, he has a dream. They hate him, but he still keeps telling the dream anyway. I thought that was pretty cool. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheath arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheath." Verse 8. "And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us?" They're always looking for the bad. Or, because that's what they were saying. "Oh, so what are you saying? You're going to be like the Most High God over here, and we're just going to be a bunch of little minions?" Yeah. Well, anyway. "And his brethren said unto them, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his what? Words. And what kind of words was he speaking? Yeah, he was speaking kind words. He was trying to give them the heads up. Yo, something's going to happen. I had a dream. I don't know about you. One of you guys came to me and said you had a dream. I said, okay, brother. I don't care what you have dominion over. I'm paying attention. But they didn't. They didn't like him. See, because it's not inherent. It's not part of their DNA to be kind. It's part of them to be miserable. You know, I watched a movie. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched a little bit of the end of it. And I'm sure it wasn't true. Speaking of Noah, on Noah's Ark. And I don't know what the name of it was. But I just caught like that one part. And I thought that was of God that I caught it. Because here this guy stows away on the Ark. And did you see that? Yeah, he stows away on the Ark. And when he's in the Ark, in the end, anyway, when they're getting ready to land or whatever, anyhow, what happens is he winds up attacking Noah, and he's gonna bash his head in. You know what that guy says? I don't know his name, but anyway, whoever he was supposed to be, he says, "You know, God made us in His image, and now I am going to take your wife and your children and your ark and your animals and make them in my image." And he went to smash his head. And I thought, man, that's like just pure hatred. What's up with that? Not a lick of kindness there. And check that out about the demon thing too. Wow. So what verse are we in? Thanks. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Verse 10. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? What are we supposed to be getting on our hands and knees and salaaming you? Man, they just don't get it. Verse 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So his father, even after saying something to him, thought, maybe there's something more to this than meets the eye, boys. But see, the point is, a point I want you to see is how miserable those people treated him, his family, and how much they hated him. Jesus Christ said, marvel not that they hate you. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that people hate you. Don't be surprised when you try and extend an act of kindness to someone and they give you the half a peace sign. Don't be surprised if they flip you off, if they do this or whatever. Don't be surprised. They're just not used to it. Maybe they got all the problems to boot. I don't know. Verse 12, and his brethren went to feed their flock in Shechem. Verse 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. Okay, I'm ready. I'll go check out what they're doing, Dad. And a certain man found him, that's Joseph, and behold, he was wandering in a field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. So he says, yo, bud, I'm looking for my brothers. You know, I'm looking to see where they're at. I want to find them. And the man said, they departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went to his brethren and found them in Dothan. So he goes looking for his brothers. They're not there. He didn't blow them off. He didn't say, well, they're not here. My dad told me to come here. No. His dad told him to go and find out what was going on. So that's what he did. He went and found out what was going on. He followed him all the way down there. And when they saw him afar off, verse 18, even before he came near unto them, they what? Conspired against him. To slay him. That's how far it went. Now, not only do we hate this guy, and that's a whole nother thing you can work. How that leads, that bitterness, that anger, that wrath. You let that fester, the door opens wider. The next thing you know, you got people killing people. All for the lack of a little kindness. Now, that's not the only reason, and I'm sure you understand that. But you need to go there, man, and see what that's about. Why do you think these people are all rioting? Well, anyway, so let's go. Okay. They conspired to kill him. Verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. That's what they thought of him. He's just a dreamer. Stupid kid. Verse 20, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Let us murder him. That's what they're saying. And cast him into some pit, and we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what become of his dreams. You know, that's where they were at. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him in a pit and leave him there. Yeah, let's see how smart he is now. You know, when you're nice, people are going to say, oh, what's your problem? Because they're just not used to it. You got to see the big picture. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. So one of the brothers smartens up and says, dude, don't kill him. Come on. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Verse 24, and they took him and cast him in the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So they throw him in a pit and leave him to die. His own brothers. How sad is that? Your own brothers and sisters were so jealous of him that they conspired to kill him, and they threw him in this pit and left him there. How would you like to be Joseph? Look at his perspective. Dude, what did I do? I had a dream, and all I said was, yo, things are going to happen. Maybe somebody needs to smarten up. That's all he was doing, because he was a nice guy. Think of Jesus Christ. Wasn't he a nice guy? Wasn't he a dreamer? You know, that's what could have been said of him. A wine bibber. They called Jesus Christ a wine bibber. Samson a wine bibber. Stop. Just stop. All right. So where are we now again? I go off on these tangents. Where? 22? Thanks. 23? Okay. 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren. Okay, they stripped him out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and threw him in a pit. 25, and they sat down to eat bread. No sweat off of my butt. Let's go eat, boys. That guy's out of the way now. Verse 25, okay. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, the company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother of our flesh. And his brethren were content. So some guy, one of the brothers, stands up for him, says, let's not kill him, let's sell him off. Once again, think of how Joseph, all that bad came upon him, and all he was trying to do was good. All right. Verse 28, then there passed the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt. How many pieces of silver they say you'd sell Jesus Christ for? 30. What about that? It's not the same amount, but I mean, it's a pittance of money. How sad. And he returned unto his brethren and said, okay, so, and Reuben, verse 29, returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. So he ripped off his clothes, like, oh my God, he's not here, you don't know where he went. Verse 30, and he returned unto his brethren and said, this child is not, and I, whither shall I go? The child's not, he's not in there, he's not in the pit. What are we going to do? We're going to look at verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this we have found. So they go to the dad who loved him more than anything and they show him the coat with the blood all over it. Just more evil towards Joseph. And now, towards his father to boot. People say that about God. You know? They don't like you. They don't like God either. And God is our what? Father. How about that? Well, verse 32. This have we found. And now, and this have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. So they're saying, is this your son's coat or not? What is it? Verse 33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. So he says, you know what? He's dead. I can't believe it. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Joseph's brothers not only brought grief on Joseph, but on his whole family. And you can read the rest, how Joseph went down and he was sold and he went into the court and he interpreted the dreams. And as a result of that, a lot of people really got saved. Take a look at Genesis chapter 50, please. that's what leads up to this chapter 50. So Joseph got a lot wrong done to him. And how did he repay his brothers? We're going to read that. Verse 15. Chapter 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead. This is years later. After the famine and all. Yeah, did I say 15?
Yeah.
Am I reading verse 15?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Okay. When Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and he will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So now the brothers, all these years later, are having second thoughts. Oh boy, we're in a big mess now. Say what? I'll tell you. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, verse 17, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. So Joseph wasn't ticked off. He cried when he heard that. He was saddened. Even though, 5 census-wise, he had every right to be ticked off. Get a bow and arrow or a sword and do as he will. But he didn't. Verse 18, and his brethren went also, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. So they walk in and they say, dude, man, we're going to be your slaves. We'll do whatever you want. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. And they said, even though you conspired all that evil and did all that wicked to me, I'm not God, and it's okay. Because God had a bigger plan. God had a bigger plan when he called each and every one of us to do his word and to do his will. We just need to get busy doing the deeds. Verse 21, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. Not just you, but you and your family too. Don't worry about it, man. It's going to be okay. And he comforted them and spake what? Kindly unto them. All the evil that was done to him, all he did back was kindness. Let's look at Mark chapter 15, please. In Mark chapter 15, we're going to just look real quick at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Not the whole thing. We're going to see another act of kindness. Mark 15, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Verse 16, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. So they get the whole crew together. They're going to beat Jesus Christ. They're going to take him up. They beat him. They stick a robe on him, verse 17, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it around about his head. Verse 18, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. They're mocking him. How sad. The Savior of the world being mocked. About that. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. Verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Can't even talk about it. Verse 21, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexandria and Rufus, to bear his cross. And did he bear that cross? Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. That was an act of kindness towards Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the only begotten Son of God. We need to take up the cross of Christ. We need to put that stake on our back and walk out as proud sons of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing whatever it takes to show people the love of God by extending the kindness that's in our hearts to them. So how did Jesus get some payback? While he was hanging on the cross, take a look at Luke chapter 23. Kind of the same kind of thing Joseph did. After all that was done to him, they did so much more to Jesus Christ. I'm not even trying to compare that, but you get the picture. Luke 23, verse 34. And this is how Jesus responded to everything they did to him. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. That's how Jesus responded. Loving it till the end, man. Even when they beat him, smashed him, jammed crowns of thorns in his head. You know the whole story. I can't talk about that much because I get kind of sad, to tell you the truth. So that's how Jesus Christ paid him back. He said, forgive him. As we read the word and walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father and operate manifestations of Holy Spirit, as we become kind, kindness will become a natural way of life. Because now it's in our DNA. So, what I want to leave you with is a couple things. Practical ways to exercise kindness. And this is not any big deal. Smile. It's such a simple act of kindness. Just smiling at someone. Instead of like that bitter face, have a smile. Say God bless you to someone you do or you don't know. Like I said earlier, go there. Praise God. Hold the door open for someone. You ever go in Wawa? If you ever go into Wawa, everybody holds the doors for each other. I'd like to know the guy that started that. It's pretty cool. Send a card or a gift to a person who feel you do or don't deserve it. Maybe send something to somebody you don't think deserves any good thing. That's a random act of kindness that those people will be, why'd they send that to me? You know? Think about it. It's important. Give a triangle to somebody, maybe. Steve gave me that triangle. I still can't get it. I'm twanging around. But I'm blessed, twanging around. All right. Send a gift to a person who you feel does or doesn't deserve it. Bake some muffins for the next door neighbor. Do you even know your next door neighbor? I'm not talking about intimately. I'm just talking about, do you recognize them when they're out there? Offer a ride to someone who has no car. You know, I pick somebody up every week for fellowship. I drive 15, 20 minutes one way, 15, 20 minutes back, 15, 20 minutes one way, 15, 20 minutes back. Not that I'm all that in a bag of chips. Trust me, I'm not. But I'm just saying, give a ride. That's an act of kindness, and that person appreciates it. You know what? If I didn't do that, they wouldn't be able to come to fellowship because they have no way of getting there. Invite a hurting person over for dinner. You know, we had a guy that was coming to fellowship, and he showed up, and, you know, I was telling him about Thanksgiving, and guess what? He told me he was going to his mom's Thanksgiving afternoon. He said, dude, can I come over for Thanksgiving? And I said, nah. No, just kidding. No, I said, yeah, sure, dude. And he came over. Then my daughter, Natalie, had two friends come from Canada. We never met them before in their lives. She calls up, yo, dad, can we bring these two people from Canada over? Sure. So we had them, too. So, you know, just do it, man. That's all there is to it. Buy someone a cup of coffee, even if you don't know them. Dolores is a big thing of that. You get in line, the Wawa line, pay for the guy's coffee behind you if that's all he's getting. It's only a buck. Who cares? God will give it back to you. You know, you need to go there. You need to realize that you're doing an act of kindness for God Almighty. Whew. Be positive. Give encouragement to someone. You know, words can build up, words can destroy. There's a song, not this thing that we're going to play here, but there's a song by Eric Church, one of my favorite artists, and it's Kill a Word. If I could kill a word, you ought to Google that up and listen to it. Because it's like, if I could kill a word, I'd strangle hate, I'd beat up something else, I don't know. It's pretty cool. But words can build up, words can tear down. We want to build up with our words. And be positive, give that encouragement, and give someone the word. Give them the word of God, because that's the thing that can save their eternal souls. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Because this is not just for people that we don't know and for people that are not part of our fellowship or any other fellowship for that matter. It's also the household of faith. And this was one of the retemories from the Weekend to Remember. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of what? Faith. And that's each other. You know, hug each other. Care for each other. Give for each other. Do you have a need? You know, make it happen. So Nick's going to play this video for us, and it's called Chain of Love by Clay Walker. I wished it was Chain of Kindness, but it's not. But that is exactly what you're going to see, kindness. And then I'll pray after Nick's done running the video. So I'll probably just take a minute, and then we're going to see this video. It's pretty cool. I cried so hard the first time I heard the song. Actually, yeah, it's kind of funny. I cry a lot, and I have to hear something and see something like a lot of times before I can not cry, and I still cry on Who Saved a Wretch Like Me. Yeah, I 100 years, I'll be alive, and I'll still cry. All right, so here's the video. Story, and she probably never will.
get her change from a $100 bill. The lady slipped right out the door, and on a napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote. You don't owe me a thing, I've been there too. Someone wants to help me out, just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end. That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered softly, everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe.
Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, I like that. Yeah. All right. So I hope you can go out and practice kindness today and every day of your life. And I'm going to pray. And God, thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for your love and your care and your mercy and your peace. For all that you do for us each and every day of our lives. How thankful we are that we are your children. Thank you that we can extend that same kindness, that same love wherewith you loved us, and the kindness that you extended to us. Thank you that we can extend it to others and bless their lives so that they too can be enriched by the greatness of you. Get born again, have Holy Spirit, and extend it to someone else. And we thank you for this and for a great day. Thank you for healing the infirmities of any person in this room. I lift them to you, and I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for healing them, and that your healing power is washing over them, and that they can remember that Jesus Christ took away all that pain and all that suffering. Thank you that we can live victoriously in this day and time. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.